Jesus says, to the angel of the church at Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and the eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
So coming up after Kip, it's the exact opposite pretty much. He had a pretty decent message. They were doing good, even though in the eyes of really bad persecution and everything. And these guys are pretty much the exact opposite. So we're looking at Laodicea. It is right by Colossae. They were neighbors. They were very close neighbors. And when Paul writes the Colossians in 4:16, he says, when this epistle has been read among you, cause that it also be read in the church of Laodiceans, that you also read the epistle from Laodicea. So they were exchanging, said, telling each church to exchange the epistles that I send them, and both of you read it at your churches since they were so close. I saw 14 miles somewhere in that range, 10 miles, it's a little bit different. But it's not very far away, right? So a few-hour walk, about 5-hour, 6-hour walk, so it's not very far at all. Laodicea was right in the middle of the big trade routes that you see there. We see the red trade routes going everywhere there. They were the money and finance capital. That is where all the money flowed. That is where all the financial things were going through for all this trading. So they were very rich. Now, most people are going to say, hey, Brent, how rich were they? You know, the old joke. Well, in AD 60, right around AD 60, Tacitus actually wrote this down for us, and the historian, the whole city was destroyed by an earthquake. And instead of Rome coming in to help them build it, they rebuilt themselves. They refused help from Rome, and they financed the whole rebuilding of the whole city by themselves. That's pretty rich people. So this, when this letter is written, that's who it's written to. He's writing this letter to very, very wealthy people. And when you start thinking about that, when you start seeing this message, it makes sense. This letter is probably one of the most easy letters to understand what Christ is talking about to them. So, when he starts talking about, I know your works. So Christ knows our works because he is the looker at the works. He knows the works, but he also knows what's behind the works, right? He knows the heart that is behind the works. And he sees that they are neither cold or hot. So, there's a couple different, I've looked in there, there's hundreds of different explanations for this that people have opinions. One of them is there's two streams coming into this town. There was one hot stream and there's a cold stream, right? The water was very hot and the water was very cold that were coming into it. The hot water was very useful for cooking, very useful for cleaning, bathing, all kinds of stuff. The cold water was very useful for drinking, right? But when they came together, they mixed and it became lukewarm. And nobody used that water because who wants to use lukewarm water for anything? It's not warm enough to bathe. It's not cold enough to drink. So it's kind of useless. I kind of agree with that, but I have a little bit different take. I know you guys are all shocked. But when he says you are neither hot, so let's think of a hot Christian. I think of somebody that's on fire for Christ, right? That's what I think about. Not only their heart is on fire, but also their works are on fire because they're so driven by the Christ that the heart makes the works come out of them. That's where the works come from, is the heart. The cold Christians, I look at it a different way. These are the people that are on fire in the heart, but their works on the outside, you may not see. So we have people in this congregation that do a lot of works, good works that nobody knows about. But their heart is still on fire for Christ. But their works are cold because we look at them, we don't see anything. So it kind of looks like their works are cold, right? Lukewarm. When he says, I am going to spit you out, who did he say he's going to spit out? He said the lukewarm. He did not say he's going to spit out the cold or the hot. And we're talking about the church, right? So we're talking about the lukewarm people that he's going to spit out. And we're talking about very rich people here that have everything they need, but they still seem that they're doing works because he says, I see your works. So they're still doing works, correct? The scripture says they're still doing works. So what makes them lukewarm? There's something different. There's not cold or not hot. There's something different about their works that he's going to spit out. So if we think about it, the rich people, if you're rich, what are you concentrating? What do rich people seem to concentrate and to kind of lean on more? They start leaning on their wealth. They start leaning on their own thoughts and their own ideas and their own practices. You still might do the good works, but you may be leaning on yourself instead of leaning on Christ. That is the backbone of them works. Like I said, the hot people, when you're on fire for Christ, it's going to drive them works out of you. And even if you're on fire, your works are still coming out, but maybe not everybody sees them. That's the way I look at it. That's my opinion. Some people would disagree with me. I know that. But it kind of makes sense to me when we look at rich people. Look at our congregation today. Look at our world today, right? In America, we have everything we need, plus more and more and more and more. And a lot of times, we are so comfortable, we will go through the regimen of going to church on Sunday, going Wednesday night, going to Bible study, but sometimes we forget why we're doing it. We come to this church and say, well, this is our church. No, it's not. This is Jesus Christ's church. He's the one that paid for it. He's the one that bought it. He's the one that shed blood for it. We didn't do any of that. We are simply part of the church. This is not our church. And I think that is where I look at where the Laodiceans were going wrong. They were looking at, this is our thing. This is my thing. Look at what I have done. Look at all the great things that I have done, and they forgot who they're doing it for. And that's what made them lukewarm. Because if we go on, it says, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing. So I've got everything I need, that's what I'm saying. But, he said, you are don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And that reason is because they forgot who they were doing this for. They forgot Christ was the basis of everything. So it's not you, it's Christ. So they need to find out why they think this. They need to fix it, right? The good news about this is in 19 he says, for whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. The good news is that he still loves them. He still loves us. When we fail, when we don't live up to his expectations, when we don't do his work, and we don't love him through our works, he still loves us. In 1 Peter, when it says that we are supposed to, he wants us to buy these things, right? In Revelation, he wants us to buy these things. In 1 Peter 1:7, it says, so that you be tested and genuine of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when he tells us he wants us to buy this gold that's been tested, he wants us to get our faith back. He wants us to make our faith the center of our beliefs and not ourselves, not our wealth, not all the stuff that we have in this world. He wants Jesus, he wants himself to be the center of it, faith in Christ to be the center of all this. Like in 19, he says, those whom I love, I approve and discipline. That's a hard thing for us today, right? Sometimes we don't like discipline because sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's not a gentle discipline. And he already says that you need to be zealous and repent, right? You need to get this fire back that you had at one time. You need to get this fire back and repent and go back to the works that you did at first. There's a big tieness together of what I'm going to do tomorrow in Ephesus, the Church of Ephesus, and this. There's a big tie together in this. They did the same thing. They forgot their first love. And I believe that's exactly what these guys did too. They started leaning on themselves instead of leaning on their first love, which is Christ. And behold, I stand at the door and knock. So Christ is sitting there. He's waiting for us, right? So he's waiting for us to come back. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and I will eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down the Father onto his throne. So Christ is simply saying, if you find yourself leaning on your own works and you are not leaning on Christ, you have to judge yourself and figure this out. But if you are, you need to be zealous. You need to realize it. You need to repent. And you need to start doing things for the right reasons. And that's because of Christ and what he's done for us first. We love each other because Christ first loved us. And I think that's the lesson that he's trying to tell these guys. Quit leaning on your stuff. Your stuff is going to get you nowhere. It's going to perish. And if you don't straighten up, you're going to perish right with it. And I think in the United States today, I think this lesson is even more relevant than we can even imagine. I think Rick would say too, when you go over to Africa, it's different. When you go to these poor countries, like Smyrna, they were poor. They were being pushed down. When you get poor and you have nothing to lean on, you look up. You look to something that you don't have. And look to something that has everything that you need, which is salvation and peace and hope. And that is Christ. In the United States, it's very easy for us to forget that. We're so comfortable. We're so comfortable. We're so much like the Laodicean church. We're rich. Compared to anybody place in the world, pretty much, we are very rich here. We are very rich. And the richer we get, the more comfortable we get, the more lazy we get towards Christ. Until something wakes us up. It's easier for us to wake ourselves up than to have something else wake us up for it. Because if we wake ourselves up, hopefully we can not feel the wrath that these people are going to feel if they don't wake up and get zealous and repent. Because if they didn't wake up and got zealous and repented, they were lost. They were going to feel the wrath in the day of judgment. I want to make sure that we don't fall into that same trap today too, because we can get very lazy in the United States. We can forget to put Christ first. Because our money is always there, and it seems like all of our worries are gone, right? Smyrna, I think a big reason, like they said, they were not comfortable. They couldn't be comfortable because there's so many outside forces pushing them back. We don't have them here, so we have to probably be twice as careful about this, because we have a lot of freedom, and we have a lot of money. And that is a recipe for disaster if we're not careful. And I believe that is the message that Christ is trying to get to the churches today, right? Let us hear. What are we hearing from this lesson today? We are hearing that we better not get too comfortable where we start leaning on our own stuff. I mean, when we come to worship here, what do we have to worry about? When we go home, what do we have to worry about? What's it going to take for us to wake up and realize that maybe we are just like these people. Maybe we are. Maybe we need to judge ourselves harshly. Because if we don't judge ourselves harshly, Jesus is going to judge us very harshly. Because he said, I've given you all this. I wrote a letter for you guys. I told you exactly what was happening and what will happen to you if you don't straighten up. You have no excuse. So that is my lesson on Laodicea. It's very straightforward. It's very straightforward. In my eyes, it's very straightforward. There's no guessing or anything. We have the same problem today as they had way back when, 2,000 years ago. Same problem. Same problem. Comfortable creates lazy. Lazy creates lost. And I think that's the lesson of Laodicea.